I really do believe that the Lord has taken a little bit of his time to speak to us. And I'm really grateful that he is a good God. Amen. What a worship that we've had this morning. And you know, even as I was stood there, you know, you all been sensing what the Lord is saying. And I'm thinking, you know, we are where? Walling where? We're just probably like a little dot in the map. But he's a good God. He's met with us this morning. And as we worship him, and our, you know, Jeremiah 29 verse 11. We all know that scripture. But, of course, he has a good plan for us. Plans to prosper. Plans to give you future. But what does it say the verse after? Then you will call me and come and pray to me. I will hear you. I will hear you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, what does it say? I will be found. This is it. You know, when we seek our God and as we worship our God, and you know he is a good God, he will be found by it. We will be found by him. Amen? Amen. Wow. I had a different introduction, but that's how the Lord works. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful, wonderful morning. That we come today before you, and we thank you for meeting with us. Even before we even hear what you have to say or what I think it is. But Father, we thank you. Would you give us your spirit to hear your voice, and may we be obedient children. May we walk in your light, and may we be the children to show the world that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. 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 Wow. Wow. Bless you all. Okay, so this morning, I believe the Lord has put on my heart a topic that I have been thinking about and I've been praying about. It's called the Fellowship of the Believers. The Fellowship of the Believers. So my text comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 6. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 6. It will also be there. Yeah, thank you, good sir. Tim puts up with me a lot. Thank you, Tim. Yeah, he's a good man. As a prisoner for the Lord, I'll read from there because it's a different version. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. So be completely humble and gentle and be patient, bearing with one another in love. So make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who was over all and through all in all. You see, God never intended us to live in isolation, but for us to have a good relationships with each other, flowing together as one to touch the world. And so Ephesians chapter 4 verse 1 to 6, it encourages us to demonstrate the patience to support one another, to foster a spirit of unity and peace so we can create a nurturing and a harmonious community together. We talk about this word harmony. What is harmony? I've been thinking, and so I'm going to do a little bit of illustration here. So, this is harmony. So, I'm going to play harmony here. Shelley's already like, what on earth is this guy doing? Neville. Neville, show us how harmony works. How it's done. Thank you. Isn't that great? Wow. Wow. Hey, I know a good singer that you could get along really well with. You both are a good couple. We're so blessed to have you. See, that's wow. That's how harmony works. Yeah, if we are not in unity, if we're not walking in the Spirit, it is jarring to our spirit. We don't know when we're upsetting somebody. We wouldn't know. It's like Shelley was saying, she will turn her ears like, what on earth is happening? But when we have a unity among us, there is truly is a harmony. And that's what Apostle Paul says here. Therefore, completely humble, make sure you're gentle, be patient, be bearing with one another. You know, the world is looking at the church and seeing how we are as a supposed people of Christ. Your neighbors are looking at you and think, oh, you go to the Ridgeway, you go to the church, right? But let me see how you live your life. And then I will see whether Jesus is really in your life. Are we walking with Christ, like he says here? Are we worthy of the call that he's given us? See, instead of concentrating on what divides us, we should remember what unites us. I'll say that again. Instead of concentrating on what divides us, we should remember what unites us. Amen. And that is what God says here. You are one body. We are one body. We are one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And if you're not baptized, I encourage you, Bible commands us, it's one of the commands, repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. You see, we find much in ourselves for which we can hardly forgive ourselves. Therefore, we must not be surprised if we find in others that which we think it hard to forgive. We should. So what is fellowship? We're talking about fellowship today. So what is fellowship? The Greek word fellowship means koinonia. It's like a soi, like a koi. Koinonia. You know what that means? It means having a thing in common. We have a thing in common to share or walk together. Let's look at that scripture. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Sorry, chapter 4, 32 to 35. Acts chapter 4, 32 to 35. Now, the full number of those who believed were in one heart and one soul, and no one said that any of these things that belonged to him was his own. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony. And they had everything in common. Look at this. In my version, it's ESV, it says everything in common. I think it's a different version there. And we wonder why that is. No marvel that they were of one heart and one soul when they held so loosely the wealth of this world. In a sense, what they were doing was they were disentangling themselves from the things of this world. And they were like it says here, no one claimed that what they had was theirs, but they shared everything that they had, that they were in union with each other. Yes, you know, just because we're all together in this room, that doesn't achieve unity. But what do we have in common? We have our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what they had, that they believed with the great power the apostles continued to testify the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and much, much, much grace. In my version, it says the great grace. We need the great grace to reach our community. We need our great grace to reach the place where you work, to show them that Christ has died for them. And there were no needy person among them. From time to time, who owned lands or houses sold them. My goodness. If that happens, I think truly is a revival in here. Seriously, they did not own anything. So fellowship is two ways. One is vertical, which is Godward, and fellowship is horizontal, which is sidewards. So, to people of God, fellowship is communion with each other. We're going to take communion in a minute. So 1 John 1:3 says, that which we have seen and heard we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. And we all know the benediction from 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 14. Well, how does it go? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with you all. So who do we have our fellowship with? We have our fellowship with our Father in heaven. So that is our vertical fellowship. Ephesians chapter 2, 18 to 22. Do we have the scripture? I don't know if I gave it to you or not. But for through him, we have access in one spirit to the Father. Oh yeah, there is. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are what? Fellow citizens. We're fellow citizens of heaven. You can't get away from me when you go to heaven. You have to see my face. And I have to see your face too. But isn't that a great promise that we are fellow citizens? So the momentary troubles that we go through in this life, I had a flat tire this morning. I was like, we need to be there on time because Liberty was singing. And then just as they drove off, flat tire. But you know what? Those are momentary trials, momentary things, fleeting things of this world. What is more important? To get to church, to worship our God, to sing praises to our God. Doesn't matter, I have a flat tire at home. But these things, somebody might have a broken washing machine. These things will happen. That is what life is. But I think it was Nigel, you prayed, we fix our eyes on our Lord Jesus Christ. And the verse goes on to say, they are built on the foundations of the apostles and Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. Who is our cornerstone in our life? It's Christ. And Apostle Peter and Apostle James and Apostle Paul, they were the foundations on which that we are built upon. And horizontal fellowship is manward. And let's look at another scripture. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. Many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had, again, what did they have? Everything in common. Everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as they had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere heart, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And here's what is a key. We may easily pass it on. What does it say? And the Lord added to their number daily. The Lord added to their number daily. Do we not want to see the Lord adding his number to Ridgeway? Do we not want to see the Lord adding, you know, little children in our own lives, you know, spiritual children? If you do want to have a natural children, may that be the case as well. The Lord be with you. But that's what I love about church. There is grandparents here. There are fathers, there are uncles and aunts. You know, we all play a part in each other's life. Fellowship is experienced in many ways. You know, you may think that sat there and you may think, you know, we already know this church has been going on for a long, long time, even before I was born. But let's see the scripture. 2 Peter verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, 12 to 15. It says, therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, that you may know them and establish in the truth that you have. I think it is right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. So I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. What is Peter saying? You know these things. These things may have been discussed before, but I intend to remind you. I intend to remind us that we have this in common. We have the Lord in common. We have each other, the fellowship of the saints, fellowship of the believers. So I'm going to go through practical ways and spiritual ways of fellowship. Okay, so I'm going to give you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, practical ways. What is it? Receiving one another in friendship. Romans chapter 15, verse 7. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. You know, when somebody comes to church, we go say hi to them. We welcome them and say, hey, it's good to have you in the house of the Lord. Join us for fellowship. We have tea and coffee. Worship with us on a Sunday morning. Spiritual ways, praying for one another. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, therefore, confess. I think we looked at that scripture in Matt and Ruth's house group this last Thursday. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous person has great power as it is working. And I think it was Nigel 2 weeks ago. He said, let's keep short accounts. You know, let's pray for each other. Let's forgive each other. Let's be accountable to each other. Let's not have cliques in the church, that we welcome people, that we accept them for who we are. Prayer meetings. You know, I've been thinking about prayer meetings for next year. We're going to have, I don't know, a series of prayer meetings, but we are going to meet together and we're going to pray for the church. We're going to pray for our hearts to be soiled in the word of the Lord. We're going to pray that we may reach the people for Jesus. Another one, practical ways. We serve each other. We serve each other in practical ways. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. If you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. You know, this is a good church, and I've already said that to you guys. And I think that is one remark about us. We are unique that we serve each other, that we help each other. When somebody's sick, that we go drop them a meal. And when somebody's ill, we drop them a flower. And I think there's a team around in the church that does all of that, that we do things in practical way. Exhorting one another, the spiritual ways. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. All the more you see the day is drawing near. Encourage and promote one another. Constantly meet up with each other. And I encourage you, have each other's for coffee. Have each other for mince pie. All the more, now it's Christmas. Have each other for sticky toffee pudding. Have each other for apple crumble. Have each other for coffee. Meet somewhere. Get to know the person. How can I pray for you? How can I pray for your family? Ask that question. How is your walk with the Lord? You know, when I was back in India, I don't have family to worry about. I don't have my kids to worry about. I would spend, you know, hours and hours spending time with the Lord, 5 chapters, 10 chapters a day. But now I have family. I have to portion my time to how we... If you're single, just go for the Lord. Spend time with the Lord. And if you don't have any other commitments, spend time with having people around. Encourage each other. House-to-house fellowship. Practical ways. Acts 2, verse 46. What did we read? And day by day attending temple together and breaking bread. And they all met in each other's house. If you're not in a house group, I encourage you. Please, please, please be part of one. Liberty and I were praying and thinking about it. So next year we're going to be starting one in Didcot. So if you're not being part of one, please, please do come and see me or one of the elders. We can put you in a group that we can break bread together. We can have coffee together. We can pray together. That we can sing our songs together. Romans chapter 14, verse 19. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and mutual upbuilding. That's what it's all about. Well, why is there a house group? Well, it's because it's biblical. It says in the Bible, and it's for mutual upbuilding. So let us build each other. When we build someone, you are also encouraged. Sharing hospitality with those in need, bearing it with one another's burdens, being considerate to one another, singing and praising and worshiping together. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns. What did we sing this morning? That was a lovely singing, Jean. You know, we all were singing this morning. You know, we were singing a hymn. Not to say we weren't singing songs either. We were singing. We were worshiping together. But when we sing and we worship, we are blessing the Lord. And the Lord inhabits the praises of His people, helping the needy financially and comforting one another. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 to 18. By this we know love, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. And we comfort one another. I remember this story. This mom was saying to the little girl, Did you go see Aunt Greta this week? No. Why? Because all the time she's just crying. Yeah, but she finds it comfort in you. She's like, no, but I don't want to do though, because it's not doing anything for me. But her mom was saying to her, it's not about you. You know, do you have Christ? You believe, right? You have Jesus in your heart. Yes, I do, mom. But that's all it's all about. Even if somebody just want to cry with you, just go be with them. Because that's all they want to do. They just want to cry with you. And even if that is the way that you're going to minister to them, so be it. Because that's how God wants you to be for that person. That's what the Bible also says. You know, cry with those who cry. And rejoice with those who rejoice. You know, enemy is such a he's a clever guy. I don't like giving him credit, but he is an enemy nonetheless. He is very shrewd, very clever, very wise, prince of the air. The Bible talks about it. But that's what Satan does. He sows seeds between our relationships, and he's just like puts offenses in each other's way. This scripture, Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. If your brother sins against you, go and tell Terry Mitchell. Sorry, I just read it because it's like the postmodern version. If your brother sins against you, go and tell Katie Shreve. No, it doesn't say that. If your brother sins against you, go show him his fault. And then what does it say? Just between the two of you. If I have a problem with Alan, sorry, Alan, I should have asked you before this. But because he's my brother, he's my friend. Terry, did you know what Alan did to me?
I did.
But as wise as Terry is, you know what he will tell me? Did you go talk to him? Just between the two of you? See, that's what we should do. You know, if you have a problem with a brother or a sister, you go show him. Or you just say, look, I think it may not be your fault. I think it's just me. You know, you have offended me by you doing something or you being you. So can I just make sure I put my heart right with you? And that's important. If you're not in unity and you pray, you know, like in, I think it's in 1 Timothy chapter 2, it says, Paul exhorts to husbands to make sure they are right with the wife. And so their prayers are hindered. And the principle is like, if I'm not right with my wife, whatever I'm going to pray, Lord, be with us, you know, do a mighty thing with our church, is not going to be answered because I'm not even right with my own wife. And that's the principle, that we need to be right with each other. We need to put our hearts right as far as you're able to. That's what Paul says. As far as you're able to live in peace. And if they're not wanting to be in peace with you, hey, you just give it to the Lord because your heart is right before the Lord. Amen? And if they don't listen to you, then Matthew chapter 18, verse 16 to 17 says, but if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. We are going into like church discipline and all of that. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile or a tax collector. You know whose words are these? They are Jesus Christ himself. You know, they're powerful, powerful words. And then later on, Paul in 2 Corinthians says, if that brother, if he is come to repentance, admit him back again into the house of the Lord. Everything we do, church discipline or whatever that it may say, is for what? It's for a mutual upbuilding each other. And you're bringing him back to Christ. You know, I pray and I watch what I watch. I watch what I listen to. Watch what I, who I spend time with. Because for the preservation of my soul, because I want to be in right with the Lord, the vertical fellowship that we talked about earlier. And if we just go all through the week and we just come to Sunday on a Sunday morning and you just say, Lord, why aren't you speaking to me? It's because we have done the things that wasn't in sync with the Lord. We have now been connecting with the head of our body, which is Christ. Okay, so when is fellowship unwise? And then we're going to look at a couple of things and we're going to go into communion. Okay, so avoid. You know, I was at Matt and Ruth's house group last Thursday. I love visiting people's group, and it's such a lovely time getting to know each other, and you're spending time with people, and then you are fellowshipping with each other, and you have a coffee if you're lucky. I'm a big coffee fan, but that is the most important thing. I love spending time with people, because that is what Jesus did, and we copy the Lord Jesus Christ. Why was I saying that? Yeah, doctrine, sorry. Let scriptures interpret scripture and not man-made doctrines. And we all are, you know, in this postmodern era where there are doctrines for this and there's doctrines for that, you know, and you know, all you have to do is, you know, does this say the Old Testament and the New Testament? Because this is the God's inerrant word, not man's doctrine. They may have, you know, that's the danger of secluding a scripture out and then you make a doctrine around it. But you have to measure the whole Bible with the whole of the Bible. You know, there are people out there that they say, you know, there is no Trinity. You know, there is no Father. There is no Son. There is no Holy Ghost. There is only Father. He is the only God. We have to be so careful what we listen to. And also, again, in our postmodern era, that we have this myriads of online preachers. Hear my heart right, guys. I am not saying don't listen to them, because we all do. You know, I put it in my car as I go somewhere. But I check their lifestyle with the word of the Lord. I don't just listen to them because they have great gifts. They have this charisma. They can just do anything. Listen to this article. This is from September 23rd, 2024. Let's read this after the scripture. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 1, chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. It says, but there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destructions on themselves. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made so very cleverly. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. And if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but send them to hell, bring them into the gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment. And then he goes on to say about those people who have been causing destructive heresies. Now, why do I say that? In terms of fellowshipping and in terms of what we allow ourselves to be exposed to, here's an extract from an article about the online preachers, so-called. A pastor, a pastor repeatedly telling sexually coerced jokes and belittling women from the pulpit. A pastor again charged with sexual assault of a child. A pastor again sexually assaulting a 12-year-old girl. A pastor again charged with indecent assault and sexual assault. And more recently, a pastor again having / had an inappropriate relationship with a woman. I close quote. This is what out there, when we do not measure them up with the word of the Lord, if you see their lifestyle, what did Jesus say? Much better, what I'm going to say. You will know them by their fruits. Thank you. And you have to measure them up with their fruits and with their lifestyle. Measure them with 1 Timothy chapter 3. Are they called to preach? Are they called to teach you? 1 John chapter 4 says, test the spirit. We have to be so discernible, guys. You know, and that is what I'm saying. I'm not saying don't listen to online preachers or don't listen to YouTube or your favorite preacher. I'm sure you will all have favorite preachers. But we have to measure them up with the word of the Lord and fellowship. You know, when you allow their voices to go in, you are, in a sense, having fellowship because they're teaching you the word. It may not be all wrong, but little leaven, little yeast will spread into the whole of 11. Let's look at that scripture again. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 6. I'll read it to you. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you this morning to walk in a manner worthy of our calling. We are here because God has called you. We are here because God has called me. With all humility and gentleness and patience. And patience. It's not just patience. It's going to go. Patience. Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother? How many times? 70 times 7. That means unlimited times. Bearing with one another. Forbearance. We have to put up. I'm sorry. Terry, you're stuck with me. And I'm stuck with you. You might not say it in a year's time. But that's it, you know, despite all our weaknesses, despite all my failures, you know, my wife loves me. And she's not here, so I can talk about her, you know. You know, sometimes I just irritate her so much so that she just leaves the room. And but we make sure our hearts are right. I say sorry to her. She says sorry to me more than I say sorry to her. No, I'm only joking. I say sorry to her more. With patience and bearing with one another, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in bond of peace. There is one body. There is only one body. There is Christ. There is one Spirit. Just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord and one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, in all. My brothers and my sisters, you know, fathers and mothers in Christ, 1 John verse 1:7 says, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. As we come to a close for this word, I exhort you, I appeal to you, and I urge you to put your differences right with each other. May your fellowship, your vertical fellowship with the Lord, be sweet. May your horizontal fellowship with each other be sweet. And that's what cross represents in our life. God put us himself, us with, he connected us with the Lord, with the God. I want to give an opportunity again, because I don't know everybody here, and I don't want you to leave this room without having had an opportunity of hearing the gospel of Christ. Those who have put their faith and trust in Christ, those who have put their faith in Christ, their sins are forgiven. They are washed, they are saved, they are redeemed and forgiven. And they have a relationship with him. Now, why do I say that? Because Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18 says, come now. It says, come now. And let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, he presented us faultless. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. We are presented faultless before God in heaven, and we are clothed with perfect righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ, such as that when God looks upon us, he sees not our sins, but he sees the perfect righteousness that now covers us. Do you know what that is? That is Christ Jesus himself. There is salvation in no other name. There is no many ways to God. There is only one way, that is Christ. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. This is the good news of salvation. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That God now freely offers us this glorious gift of redemption and forgiveness of our sins in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 5 verse 11 to 12. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son, Christ Jesus. And he who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son does not have life. And if the Son sets you free, free indeed. Amen. What great promises that we have this morning, that he has redeemed us, he has brought us together, he has knit our hearts together in him, despite our failures, despite our irritations that we step on each other's toes, but we have our Lord in common. Let us forgive each other. Let us put our heart right before we take that communion. If you have never believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have never confessed your sins, and you repent of your sins, turn to Christ. Turn to Christ because he has mercy on you, because he has already forgiven you. When Nathan went to David and said, this is what you've done. You've committed adultery. 1, 2, 3, 4. David said, I have sinned. But the very next verse, what does it say? The Lord has already forgiven you. And this morning, it's the same thing. When you confess your sins to God, the Lord has already forgiven your sins. So I urge you today, in the quietness of our hearts, in the privacy of your soul before God, I plead to call upon the name of Christ and get to know him and have that relationship with him. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There is only one Savior, Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, lived a sinless and a perfect life, died a substitutionary death on the cross for us, rose from the dead, ascended to heaven, and he is now sat at the right hand of God. He is offering for us the propitiation, perpetual sins. He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I was so intrigued with the prophetic words, and I didn't have anything to write upon, so I was scribbling it with the kids thing. Three people brought something that they were stirred in their spirit. and I only could catch a little bit, waiting on the Lord, when Matthew was saying something. The Lord will not fail us, something Tobias was saying, and something else that Quill was saying. I called you my servant. Did you listen to that? I called you my servant. He loves me despite who I am. He loves me despite who I am. Profound feeling of expectations. Come to the Lord and serve Him. Come to the Lord and serve Him. I thank you for you guys bringing those words so obediently, because I truly believe the Lord has spoken to us this morning. Let us now go back from here, living our life the way that we have lived. And if there is anything that in your heart that you want to put things right with the Lord, you do that now. Because Christ has opened the veil, you can have the open access to God the Father.